Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to welcome those who have been here a long time and those maybe haven't been before. It's a smashing time to celebrate the way in which God blesses us and enables us to worship him together as people who want to give God glory and praise. Today, we're beginning a new series looking at the way in which God's people tried to, by the power of God's Spirit, to live out the life that Jesus lived in them. We're looking at the book of Colossians, living the Christ-centered life. And we're going to be thinking about that. Helen's going to be preaching on that first part of the first chapter. And we're going to be exploring how that happened and the important things that they learned as they sought to learn to live that life together. So let's stand together as we begin our worship. We're going to start in a moment with two fantastic songs of praise and worship. So if your children and young people would like to come and collect a flag or some instruments to come and enjoy singing and praising God together, please do come forward in a moment. So we're going to begin with words from a psalm, Psalm 106. And it begins with that great shout of praise to God. All God's people said, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. So let's come and praise the Lord. We're going to sing two wonderful praise songs. Come and collect your flags and musical instruments. Stand in the front and enjoy leading worship together with us.
Thank you so much, Lord, that you give us all we have, and that you give us even the breath in our lungs. You're closer to us than the air we breathe.
is past searching out. We can never fathom the depths of your love for us. We can never know how great your favor upon us is. We stand here in awe of you and thank you for, with all our hearts, all that you give us, all that you bless us with, all that we enjoy in life. And we pray that as we offer these gifts and those that are given in so many other ways, that your kingdom may come, and your life may be seen in the earth. Father, we pray that you would accept these offerings as a sign of our gratitude to you and our expression of our love for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please do be seated. So it's your breath in our lungs. Now, if you were here last week, you'll remember. Oh, dear me. I haven't done my exercise this morning. That's better. A bit more breath. You'll remember that we thought about the way in which Jesus, when he appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead, came and spoke to them. And he said, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. And he breathed on them, sign of the Holy Spirit being filling them. And remember, we used balloons to remind us of that. And then he said, as I am sending you, so as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. And we had some fun. Oh, we did have some fantastic balloons that went right up to the sky. He sent those disciples out to be his people and to live his life wherever they were. And today we're thinking about the way in which those early Christians lived out that life of Christ, the life of Jesus, where they were, quite a few decades after Jesus had ascended into heaven. And I've got some things which can remind us of some of the things that Jesus did and the way in which that can still happen today. So I've got three people who are happy to bring things forward. I'd like to ask you to bring your first thing forward. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you. Now, I have here a tea towel. It reminds us that Jesus, when he was alive on earth, was able to help with the washing up, do stuff around the place, cleared up after he'd eaten the meal. And today, when people take the towel and they serve other people, they're living the life of Jesus, doing it in the power and the spirit of Jesus in the world. So every time we do that and we help to serve others, we're living a bit like Jesus did, aren't we? The second thing I'd like to bring forward is, I think Ella's got, I'm going to bring it forward, a big plant. Now, we have to be very careful with this plant, because on the way here, it started to wilt. I've given it some more, thank you very much indeed. I've given it some more water, and it's standing up a bit better now. But who knows what sort of plant this is? Your hand up and shout out the name. Well done. It's a sunflower. And you will see on your way to your groups, I think, a whole bunch of sunflowers that are in a wonderful jar as you go down the corridor. That's what this will turn into. The thing about Jesus was that he really cared for the world around him. He loved the world that he was in, and he cared for the creation, which he actually had made. So when we are doing things that care for creation, growing plants from seed and watching it come so that when it turns into a big sunflower, the seeds from that sunflower, what are they useful for? Yeah? Say it again. Food for the birds. Yes, food for the birds. And even on your cereal as well, if you're careful with it. But that's a wonderful thing to be able to do. And caring for God's creation is a Jesus-like thing to do. And the last thing I'd like to ask, if you'd like to come forward with something that you might wonder why we've got a bottle of lemonade. Thank you very much indeed. Well, Jesus loved gathering together. He loved inviting people and being part of parties. He loved to go to parties. He celebrated with people all over the place, in their homes, outside in the countryside. And he loved it especially when people who weren't normally invited to meals or to parties were invited. And you know, when we do that sort of thing, when we hold a party and we celebrate and we show hospitality, people are generous to us. And if you young people are having a birthday party, it's great to invite your friends. But maybe if you really wanted to be more like Jesus, you might think about who doesn't normally get invited to parties and isn't really included. Maybe you'd think about inviting them as well. That'd be something. So Jesus showed his care for creation. He showed how he served people. He showed how he included people and celebrated and showed hospitality to others. When we're doing those things, we are living the life of Jesus by his Spirit in us. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you that you put your life, your breath in our lives, in our lungs. Thank you that we can be like you and we can be you to others by the way we live. Fill us again today, we pray, so that we might live your risen life wherever we are. In Jesus' name, amen. So the children now like to go to your groups and enjoy exploring more of the life of Jesus where you are going to be this morning. And if there are people around you you'd like to turn and say hello to, especially people if you don't really know them, please do say hi and introduce yourselves. I'd like to introduce you to somebody some of you will know quite well, others may not. Lynn, if you'd like to come forward. We're thinking for a moment about how we as individuals are living out something of the life of Jesus where we are in our workplace. And the title of this is This Time Tomorrow. We have been doing it for a while, over many years, but haven't done it for a little while. And I really appreciate you coming to share what you'll be, well, probably not this time tomorrow, this time Tuesday. So it still works, TTT. But we're really grateful to be able to share something, first of all, then, about what you do. And so tell us what you'll be doing this time Tuesday.
I'll be at my workplace. I'm a physiotherapist in Hanley Swan, just a little private practice.
Okay. So what are the sort of things that you find workplace as a medical practitioner? What do you have any opportunities that you can think of that allow others to see something of Jesus or sharing something of how amazing the gospel of Jesus is?
Yeah, I was thinking about this last night, and, you know, my job, I'm quite privileged because I get to spend an hour with a patient, so it's not rushed. I'm not in the NHS. I don't have five people per hour, so I get an amazing amount of time with people. Some people I'll see once or twice. Some people I'll see 30 times. So you really get to know people, and it's a position where there's an element of trust. So you're not only treating someone for back pain or knee pain, but there's a lot of layers, and people feel very able to share those. And so it's a privileged position where you feel that you can really tell somebody that they are important, that they are heard, that they are seen. So I think that's sharing God's love.
Yeah, absolutely. Making people feel that they're special. It's one of the things that Jesus was famous for, I can put it that way. It was amazing the way that Jesus made people feel that they were heard and listened to. It's a great thing to be able to do, and I'm sure that comes across really well. So tell us, Lynn, finally, what a couple of things that we could pray for you as a church. Maybe when we go home, when we think about the service today, we can remember you and pray for those things. What occurs to you?
I guess just that I would show God's love to the people who walk in my door. Obviously, it's private practice, so you get a certain type of person, but you... there's some days where you've run into the job having harassed three children to school and feel a little bit overwhelmed, but just that God would be able to fill me up so that I could minister to them. Yeah. One lady, she's in her 80s, and she always says, "I always feel like I've been ministered to," and I just love that phrase because it's not your typical physio session with her. But that I would be able to see a person for their whole being rather than just the knee pain or the neck pain.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Let's give Lynn a very big round of applause. Thank you. So that whole thing of being able to be so full of or overflowing with the life of Jesus, we might see other people through his eyes, is something really special. Just to pray for Lynn and for all of us, to pray for one another. So let's just be still for a moment, and in a moment of silence, let's do that now. Lord, you would open our eyes and open one another's eyes. Just maybe pray for the person sitting next to you on your left or your right. We might see Christ in others and be Christ to others on our front lines, wherever we are in this coming week. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay, let's stand together as we come to acknowledge who we are in front of God. Let's stand together. Lord, as your family, we gather here today. Not because we have to, but because we want to. We are here to offer you our worship, our prayers, and our lives in service to you and our neighbor. We have as our example your Son, who chose not to rule but to serve, who gave of himself and you a love so strong that it flowed like a river from his hands and his heart. Your Son, who came that we might have life and have it abundantly. Thanks be to God. Your Son, who came that we might know love and knowing might share. Thanks be to God. Your Son, who emptied himself of life and love that we might be filled with both. Thanks be to God. How great is the love that the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Let's worship the Lord in song for that tremendous, reckless, overflowing love. And as we sing, let's seek to receive the truth, and receiving that truth, find the blessing of being loved.
What a privilege that is. Let's just sing that chorus in awe and wonder of what Jesus has done for us.
Reveals to us your heart, the truth of who you are and how you see us. Thank you that your word reveals to us that your love for us is beyond measure. You've placed your hope in us. We thank you, Father, for the gospel of your Son, Jesus. And how your Spirit makes it real and alive to us and in us. Lord, our prayer now is that we would be open to your word and its truth. That you would open our hearts to that word. And that you would open your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to spend some time now in God's word, read and preached. Peter's going to bring the reading from Colossians, our first in this new series.
Good morning. The reading this morning is 1 Colossians, verses 1 to 14. And it's on page 1182 of the Church Bibles. So we might like to turn to it and keep it open during the sermon. So beginning at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God, holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. Thanksgiving and prayer. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that springs from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it had been among you. Since the day that you heard it and truly understood God's grace, you learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Easter. Does it seem a long time away? Long time ago now, isn't it? We're into another bank holiday and there's another one next week. Yet in the church calendar, we tend to dwell rather in Easter. In fact, today is officially the fourth Sunday of Easter, and Easter continues until Ascension Day on Thursday the 18th of May. Now, this was our Easter publicity, new life, new hope. And that's what we were proclaiming at that bank holiday weekend, that the Christian faith has to offer new life, new hope. So let me ask you this morning, how much difference is Easter making to you and to your life? What are your hopes for the future? This says new hope. Where do you think things are heading? And if I look at the daily news, there doesn't seem to be much to me to hope for. We face issues of climate change and rising costs. And we live in an unstable world with increasing numbers of wars and conflicts. So do you have any hope for the future at all? Or maybe you have little confidence, not only for this life, but also for the life to come. Yet for those who are Christians, there is hope. And that's because we are an Easter people. The Easter message of resurrection hope is at the heart of the Christian faith, because the resurrection of Jesus changes everything. It changes how we view the future, and it transforms the way we live now. In just over a week's time, King Charles III will step into this church to be crowned king. But as you walk under the rose window of Westminster Abbey, you're reminded of who the true king is, the one who is king for all eternity. King Jesus is at the centre. He's portrayed as a heavenly king, the one who reigns over all things, because he's risen and ascended in glory. And I just want you to keep this image in mind for a few moments as we take a detour from London to Portugal, because I've just been there last weekend. And I stayed in Porto, yes, where the port comes from. And just down the road from my hotel was the Chapel of Souls, exhibiting the distinctive blue tiles of the area. Like the stained glass windows of many of the churches in Britain, they're designed to tell the story of the Christian faith. Yet they do not tell the same story as the rose window of Westminster Abbey. In this 18th century church in Porto, this is the picture on the left of the main door. Notice that Jesus is still on the cross. He has no resurrection power. Standing in that street on holiday, I was reminded of what the Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to Christians in Corinth. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Jesus, still on the cross, with no power to help us today, is not the good news of the empty tomb. Of course, he was on the cross, and that's important, but he moved on from there. Jesus walked out of the tomb, emerging with a new resurrection body that interacted in miraculous ways with everyone he met. Why dwell so long in the season of Easter? Because these encounters establish the fact that Jesus really did rise from the tomb, that he is Lord of life and death, and the ruler, the king, over all things. And that changes everything. So what, you might be asking? Actually, it's really interesting on this slide that actually came from Dave, because it says at the bottom, Jesus is Lord of the house. Jesus is Lord. That's what the resurrection does for us. So you might be asking, what has any of this to do with our new series on Colossians, although it is there on that slide? Well, this is a letter that's written by the Apostle Paul to a group of early Christians living around a city called Colossae. And today the city lies in ruins in what is now modern day Turkey. I hope you can see it on that map. It's always very difficult with maps. I find that frustrating. So what is wonderful is having this service recorded so you can actually go and see it properly at home on your tablet. But Paul had heard that believers in that place had encountered false teaching. And so he writes to set them right, as it were. His aim is to clarify who Jesus truly is. And he wrote this letter to say that as far as the Christian faith is concerned, Jesus is absolutely central. It's all about Jesus, and it's all about the risen Lord Jesus. Next Sunday, we'll be looking at the second half of chapter 1, where he explains in detail the nature of the lordship of Jesus and the kingship of the risen Jesus Christ. But in these opening verses that we've just heard, is Paul setting the scene. And he roots the identity of Jesus in resurrection hope. In fact, Colossians is a letter of hope, which is all the more remarkable because it's written from a prison cell in Ephesus. So why are we studying this letter over the next few weeks? Well, as you know, Dave, our rector, is on sabbatical, and actually he planned this series before he went. Someone had given him a verse from Colossians chapter 1. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Chapter 1, verse 27. They sensed it was a message that we need to hear and to know and to live. Keeping Jesus at the center of all we are and do, and keeping our eyes focused on that hope that he brings. Don't keep our eyes in sabbatical on the rector. Don't fix our eyes on the date of his return. Keep focusing solely on the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And this letter of Colossians shares with us the secret ingredient of hope. Chapter 1, verse 27 says, to the church, the Lord's people, God has chosen to make known the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He begins to talk about hope in verse 5, in the context of a well-known trio, faith, hope, and love. Hope brings with it a fresh orientation which gives birth to new things and a fresh way of life. Look at chapter 1 and verse 5, where he talks about faith and love springing from hope. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you've already heard in the true message of the gospel. The disciples' values of faith and love were rooted in the experience of a resurrection power that gave them hope. They knew that Jesus had been raised from the dead. They'd walked with him, talked with him, and he'd appeared in his resurrection body before them. Mary, Peter, and other disciples, and a whole crowd of believers all in one go, all attested to the fact that Jesus was risen from the dead and was ascended into heaven. The resurrection gave them all the strength they needed to live in faith and love, because where Jesus had gone, they knew they could also follow. They remembered Jesus' words from John chapter 14, verse 2. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Their hope of being able to follow the resurrected Jesus into the next life with a new body rested on them knowing that Jesus had gone ahead of them. And from this hope sprang the faith and love to give everything to the cause of Christ. The sort of things, even in little things, that Joe was talking about earlier. And it was faith and love that emboldened them to feed the hungry, pray for the sick, and even die for the cause of Christ. The Christian community of the first century grew because they did these things in times of famine and plague, knowing that they had hope of a better future. I remember thinking about this during the first lockdown. Despite the risk of infection, my sister continued to go out every day into the local community, operating food banks in areas of greatest need. My role was just to pray at home. I say just, as that was really important. While she stepped out in faith and love, knowing that if she did die from COVID, the life to come would be even more special. In her excellent book, Living for Eternity, well worth a read, Kate Patterson writes this: seeing the destination changes the journey. You will be more secure, take more risks, and joy will light up your days if you actively trust the promises that every tear will be tenderly wiped away, that gladness will overtake sorrow in the marathon of life, and that all creation will be renewed. Living in hope, you have power for the journey. Look at verse 11. Being strengthened, writes Paul, with all power according to his glorious might. The power to live a Christ-orientated life is fueled by the power that raised Jesus from the dead. And that's a mighty power. And it gives birth to patience, perseverance, and joy. Open Doors, who work with the persecuted church around the world, have said that when they go to talk to persecuted Christians, they're often asked to speak on the glory that's to come. That's because people who risk their lives for Jesus know that the hope of heaven will sustain them. An Iranian convert to Christianity wrote from Evin prison, "I thank God in perfect joy and peace for considering me worthy to be here, because of my faith and witness to Jesus Christ." This is the joy and thankfulness that is echoed in this letter to the Colossians, even though Paul himself is in chains. He knows the power and the hope of sins forgiven and what it means to live a new life with Jesus in the kingdom of God. So how can we feed a life of faith and love, peppered with patience, perseverance and joy? The answer is that we need to grow in hope. So how can we do that? Well, to help us, I'm going to use an image from James Corden, the writer, actor and comedian. He first came to our attention in Gavin and Stacey, the comedy series he wrote with Ruth James. He also starred alongside Ruth Jones and Gavin and Stacey, who you can see top left. More recently, since 2015, James Corden has been hosting the Late Late Show in the US, and now, 8 years on, he's just had his last show because he's returning to Britain. For me, the best thing to come out of the Late Late Show is the regular feature of the carpool karaoke. The idea started as a sketch for Comic Relief in 2011, when James Corden in his Gavin and Stacey persona took to the wheel with George Michael in the passenger seat. And since then, all sorts of well-known people have sat in the passenger seat to discuss their lives and to sing a few songs with Corden as the car moves slowly forward on its journey. I think my favourite carpool karaoke is the one with Michelle Obama. You can get them all on YouTube. It's really great fun. And they drive slowly around the White House lawn. I want to use this car journey to think of what it means to have Christ living in me, the hope of glory, living the Christ-like life. Imagine that this car represents the journey of your life, and that the God who created me invites each one of us, me and you, to share this journey. He has a destination in mind. He's heading for glory. He invites us to go with him to the place where Jesus has already gone, to the place stored up for us in heaven, as Paul described it in chapter 1, verse 5 of our Colossians passage. Come with me to the place stored up for you in heaven. And so there are two challenges that come from this. And the first challenge is this. Where are you headed? In your journey of life, where do you think the road is going to? Where do you expect to end up? Are you looking ahead to the glory that is to be revealed, to the place where Christ is reigning in glory? And the second challenge is this. Who is in the driving seat for this journey? The trouble is that we all begin this journey in the driving seat. And it took me a long time to allow Jesus to be in the driving seat of the journey that is my life. In only two of the karaoke carpool journeys, I think I'm right on this, but correct me if I'm wrong afterwards, because there's over 60 of them, only in two of them does James Corden get out of the driver's seat and allow someone else to drive. How hard it can be to hand control to someone else, to God himself, not just for the destination, but for the route that we will take. And in a moment, I'm going to ask us as an invitation, if you want to close your eyes and imagine yourselves in this journey that is your life. It doesn't matter wherever you've been before, that really doesn't matter. Because at this moment, everyone is invited. And we're going to think about sharing the journey of our life with Jesus and the response that we will make. Where are you going? What's your end in view? Who is in the driving seat of your life and mine? So can I invite us all just to close our eyes and imagine yourself in the car. You're on the journey of your life in your car. It's different from everyone else's, although the destination and the companion can be the same. No two journeys are alike. And as you journey through life, different people get in and out of your car. In my journey, a whole host of people have come and gone. And by the time you get to my age, the upholstery is beginning to look a bit battered. And the weather changes. Sometimes there are different seasons in life, different seasons of the soul. Some periods when the journey is dark and it looks like night outside. Others when there is springtime and laughter and new beginnings. But throughout it all, Jesus is my constant companion. Do I recognise him there in the car with me? Where is he sitting? Maybe today you'd like to move over for the first time and invite him to be in the driving seat of your life. Or maybe you've slipped over a bit into the driving seat, and today is your opportunity to set that right and allow him to take full control of what's going on in your journey at the moment. Maybe the way looks a bit unclear. There are struggles and difficulties, fears, ill health, bereavement, various things may be strewn across the road, growing at the sides. Yet God invites each one of us to trust the driver. When Jesus is in the driving seat, the whole route takes on a different perspective. Allow Jesus to set the direction of travel and follow his route to the end of the journey. We are secure. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. Now, what do you see when you look out at the road ahead? It's resurrection morning. Colossians 1:13. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. There on the horizon, at the end of the journey, dawn is breaking. There is hope. And so this morning, Lord Jesus, we commit our lives, our life's journey, to you. Amen. I want you to encourage us all to go on knowing Christ and his resurrection power more deeply. And one way we can do that is to sing the Lord's praises. So I just love these songs that we have in the weekly mailing. Have you discovered them? If you look on the St. Andrew's and All Saints website, you'll find there was a really brilliant one to fit with today on the 7th of April. So if you just go to resources, recent communications, and the 7th of April on the website, resources, recent communications, 7th of April, there's a song called Sunday's Coming. And the Phil Wickham song invites us to celebrate Easter hope. Friday's good 'cause Sunday's coming. You know, our future is secure. And in the meantime, we journey on. We're headed for resurrection glory. And when we get there, we'll find God the Father waiting to welcome us in.
Thank you, Helen. It would be good to come to God now in prayer and thank him for the way in which he has been working in the world already. He invites us to join in And Tristan is going to lead us in a time of prayer that we can engage in together. Thank you.
To do things slightly differently this morning. Rather than me reading out prayers and you responding or just saying amen at the end, I'd like to involve everybody, invite you all to get involved this morning. So I'm going to suggest some areas for prayer, and you can either pray on your own, or if you'd like to turn and pray in twos or threes, then please do that. I'll give you a second to look at who's next to you and decide whether you want to pray with them or whether you want to pray on your own. But let's pray. So the reading we've had today thanks God for the gospel and focuses on the hope that this brings to the world. So I'd like you to think about a situation that you know, that you've heard of elsewhere in the world, perhaps something you've seen in the news this week, or perhaps something you've read or heard about recently, and to bring that situation to God and ask for his insight on how to pray into it. What does it mean for the hope of the gospel to break into that situation? And pray that God would bring that about. So we'll have a time of silence or talking with your neighbours to pray about that now. At the beginning of Colossians, Paul and Timothy thank God when they pray for the church in Colossae because they have heard of the faith in Christ Jesus and of the love they have for all God's people. So think of somebody you know who is a Christian. It might be somebody related to that situation you just prayed about, or it could be somebody else. And thank God for them. Ask him to bring his hope to others through that person. Verse 6 of Colossians 1 says that the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world. So we're going to pray for our mission partners and ask that God would bring the hope of the gospel through them in the places where they work. So you can see some of them up on the screen. And if you know of any others you'd like to pray for those, then please do pray for them. This week in St Andrew's, the latest Alpha course started. So we're going to pray now for those who are leading it, as well as for those who are attending it. So perhaps you invited somebody along, maybe you want to pray for them. If you didn't, then pray for everyone who's kind of signed up, that they would hear the message of hope of the gospel. and that it brings for them personally. Verse 13 says that we pray that God would bring them into the kingdom of the Son he loves. So pray that for the Alpha Course, for those leading, for those attending. And lastly, we'll pray for ourselves as a church. So not just those people who are here, but perhaps those who you know who haven't come this morning. And of course, we'll include Dave on his sabbatical in that as well. So I'm going to pray verses 9 to 12 from Colossians 1 over all of us. Lord God, we ask you to fill us with the knowledge of your will through all the wisdom and understanding that your Spirit gives, so that we may live lives worthy of you and please you in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of you, being strengthened with all power according to your glorious might, so that we may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to you, Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of your holy people in the kingdom of light. So as we finish, let's join in the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Thanks, Tristan. So just a couple of things to mention about things that are coming up for us to be aware of that you might have seen already in the Friday email. Firstly, that this evening there's the opportunity to start a new series looking at the way in which Jesus's lifestyle can be lived out in a way that we can sense a sense of understanding of how he's speaking into our lives today. And Helen will be leading that prophetic lifestyle course this evening at 6. Then on next Saturday there's a men's breakfast coming up, and then the coronation weekend, of course, is upon us. And there's an opportunity for us to gather, if we want to, at Peter and Jane's home, an open house starting at 9 o'clock. And then later that evening, an opportunity to walk in the beautiful bluebells around the area. So that's going to be led walk at 4:30. A big lunch is taking place on the 7th of May at Malvern Wells Hall from noon. And of course, if you haven't yet connected with the church, you'd like to do that, please take advantage of the opportunities to do that, which you'll find on the website as well. Let's stand together now as we conclude our service by affirming what we believe to be true of God, and then we're going to sing our final hymn. So we believe in an everything is possible God, who has been to the depths of despair on our behalf, and who has risen in splendor and majesty. We believe that God is present in the darkness before dawn, in the waiting and uncertainty, where fear and courage join hands, conflict and caring link arms, and the sun rises over barbed wire. We believe in a with us God, who has come to where we are and shares our humanity. And we affirm a faith that takes us beyond the safe place to live with those on the edge, to choose life and to be used by the Holy Spirit in the building of God's new kingdom of hope. We believe that Jesus is the light of the world. Amen.
as Christ loved us, to walk by faith which flows from hope, and to live for truth and justice in this world today.
So let's conclude our worship by singing of that living hope that God has placed in our hearts. Peace as you trust in him, and may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you now and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen. And as usual, there's an offer of prayer. If anyone would like to receive that blessing of God, come to the pulpit here and we'll be able to pray for you. There's coffee in the hall, and next Sunday is going to be Holy Communion as we gather together in the presence of God. Thank you.